Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When this guy took over, I said to myself, how the hell is he going to clean up this mess? I don't know how he's going to do it. And somehow this guy, I've already bought the equipment. I've already bought the hammers. I've bought the nails. And I've already begun constructing the statue for this gentleman. It will not be finished until there's an NBA championship. But somehow this man got out of a colossal mess. They won 42 games last year. And then best of all, he's storming into the officials' locker room to yell at them. That made us all love him even more. And then when everybody said it couldn't happen, this man got Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving to sign with the Brooklyn Nets. So if you're in your car, don't do it because it's dangerous. But if you're at home, I want you to put your hands together for our next guest. Ladies and gentlemen, the architect of the Brooklyn Nets. I now have a T-shirt that says, In Marks We Trust. Okay? Sean Marks, ladies and gentlemen. Sean? Oh, boy. Oh, you must have, like, the biggest smile on your face right now. Admit it, Sean. You smile constantly now, don't you?
Well, I mean, there's still things that keep me up at night, but I appreciate you having me on, Evan, so thank you.
All right, let's get down to business, all right? When did you feel confident that Kyrie Irving, we'll start with him, was going to come here? Was there a moment where you said, boy, this guy really wants to come here. He's going to sign with the Brooklyn Nets. When did that happen?
You know, I think with Kyrie, it was probably a little bit like all the media reports that were out there. So I'm a little bit like everybody else. We're reading these reports and we're seeing that, hey, things may not be, as Boston might have liked, you know. So I don't know where he was going to go, but I knew, look, we're close to home and we're a desired destination. So we knew we had a chance, but I think with free agency, as we've seen, not only this year, but we've seen the last couple of years, guys will say they're going to do one thing and commit one way, and then next thing you know, by the end of the moratorium, they're on a different team that they've committed to. So it was one thing for us. We never sort of sat there and, you know, said, okay, look, looks like we got this thing done. This was about us, you know, continuing to just stay true to who we are, continue to pitch the idea of him being a part of the Nets. So.
Did you, is it almost like as a general manager, you're sitting there following Adrian Wojnarowski on Twitter and saying, oh, so where does this guy want to go? Where does that guy want to go? Because a lot of these rumors obviously start even when the season is going on and then clearly before you're even allowed to talk to these guys. So does it almost work that way in which as the GM of a basketball team, you're reading this guy's interested in coming here and you're kind of finding out about that through those circles?
I wouldn't say just those circles, but that is certainly one avenue in which, you know, we get the information just like everybody else. And I think to your point, you know, when there's a little bit of smoke, there's often some fire. So it's about just being prepared. And, you know, we prepared for this for, you know, really for 3 years for having this kind of cap space and what we were going to do in this market. You know, it's also credit to all our scouts. You know, our pro scouts have done a heck of a job, you know, for 3 years now, you know, working the phones and the intel and so forth, and being at games and just kind of getting a good temperature for where the league is going.
You know, Kyrie Irving is a tremendous player, and I would say he's better than D'Angelo Russell. But as a fan, this was very difficult at first to get used to because D'Angelo was a great sport here. You know it. Kenny Atkinson benched him in big minutes earlier this season, and he never said a word. And he's sitting there at G League games rooting for the Long Island Nets. In many ways, he was all about the culture that you've preached. And from what we heard, Kyrie Irving hasn't been, that he had issues in the Boston locker room, that he's had knee issues physically to deal with. Was that ever a concern for you? I know as a fan it's a concern, and I don't know if you're following Net fans arguing with each other on Twitter, but there was almost a Net civil war in debating Kyrie versus D'Angelo Russell. Did you have that internally in trying to debate, you know, the merits of moving on from a guy like D'Angelo Russell, who was such a good soldier for this team for the last 2 years, and replacing him with a guy like Kyrie Irving?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, first of all, I think you hit it on the head. I mean, D'Angelo was amazing when he was here. you know, did everything we asked and completely bought into the culture, bought into the development piece, and really matured, and really was somebody, you know, we were quite happy to move into the future with on our team. I mean, and that's, you know, part of the benefits of restricted free agency, so to speak, you know, and I think for me to comment on a guy like Kyrie about what happened in another organization is really unfair to one, the player, and secondly, the other organization. I wasn't there. I wasn't in the locker room. You know, I don't know all the facts and so forth. All I can say is, you know, I'm extremely proud of the group that we have here in Brooklyn, and that's players and staff alike, where, you know, it's a player-driven culture. These guys hold each other accountable. You know, we do everything we can from a player care perspective. And I think the players are our best salesmen here. They're the ones that have pitched this over the last couple of years, you know, commenting on, you know, whether it's what we do for these guys off the court, or whether it's the performance team and bringing these guys, rehabbing these guys back. So, you know, I think that was probably a big piece to why, you know, some of these free agents have taken a look at Brooklyn. You know, it's that established culture by all the people that are involved here.
And, you know, I don't think this is tampering, but so I don't want to get you fined or anything like that. But if Spencer Dinwiddie, because that's what we've heard, that Spencer Dinwiddie is, you know, taking a Harvard class with Kyrie Irving, they're friends, and friends are allowed to talk. You know, he's allowed to say Brooklyn's fantastic. He's allowed to say the training staff is great. Did you get feedback from your own players that stuff like this was happening? Like, would Spencer walk past you and say, I don't know what he calls you. I don't think he calls you Mr. Marks. He says, hey, Sean, hey, tall guy. I spoke to Kyrie, boy. I sold it to him. Like, was there communication between you and your own players about what they were doing and what they were discussing with other players?
You know, honestly, nothing, because for a couple of reasons here, because I think that puts your players into really, really, you know, puts them in a strange position where if they're the ones doing the recruiting as you have asked them to do, I don't think that's fair. You know, players can turn around and that can backfire on you really quickly. So as we all know, we've seen since, gosh, probably the beginning of free agency, you know, in the beginning of time, you know, players will talk and they will tell you, hey, look, I really like playing for this coach, or I really like playing with this particular point guard, or that guy and so forth, or that market, whatever it may be. So these guys, you know, I think we're probably not giving them enough credit that they've spent a year, 2 years, however long it is, trying to position themselves to where they wanted to play together, or whether they just said, look, I want to be in this particular market, or wherever it may be. But they've definitely canvassed the league and done enough of their own due diligence to try and figure that all out.
Do you, and I get your point, we're talking to Sean Marks, GM of the Nets, I get your point about, hey, it's not fair for me to speculate what happened somewhere else. But you hear rumblings, you hear rumors. Did you think it was important to try to find out what happened with Kyrie in Boston? Or do you just say, you know what, completely clean slate, it's a new place, it's a new coaching staff, it's a new roster? Or did you feel it was important to try to, you know, almost do your own detective work to find out, okay, well, what happened with him in Boston?
You know, I think you have to do both. I think you certainly have to try and figure out, like, you know, what happened? Why did it happen? What can we learn from this? But you know, first and foremost, and probably the most important piece, is to sit down and give the young man his time and say, Kyrie, hey, look, how do we make this a success to you? What do you need from us? You know, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to play. This is our system and so forth. This is how we think you can benefit from being in our system and so forth and within our culture. This is how you can help drive it. What do you think to that? And then sit there and just honestly have a grown-up conversation with him, and, you know, and let him speak and let him speak his mind. And to your point, sort of start with a clean slate. And I think everybody deserves that.
I'm going to be honest with you. It was about a week ago. I woke up in the middle of the night and I said to my wife, oh, my God, Kevin Durant's a Net. I can't freaking believe Kevin Durant's a Net. How many times have you done that over the last few weeks?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. There's been a couple times where, you know, I'm definitely excited about, you know, Kevin for sure, the whole group, and really the challenge of getting all these guys together on the same page and watching how it unfolds. I think that's the magic, and that's the real special piece where you see, you know, elite talent, one, want to play together and see, you know, who's going to sacrifice what, who's going to bring what to the table, and just see how they all mesh. And I think, you know, what role we all play in this, what role our coaching staff, performance staff, Kenny, myself, everybody plays in this is going to be exciting to see how that unfolds.
We're talking to Sean Marks here on WFAN, WFAN-FM New York. studying you for the last few years, seeing how you operate as the GM, when you made the Allen Crabb trade, all right, when you corrected the Allen Crabb mistake, if you will, I said to myself, Sean Marks is confident. Because you're not just giving away draft picks. You're not Billy King. And I don't mean to bring his name up, but you're not that. You're calculated. You're smart. I think in ways you're a little conservative at times. And so when that trade went down, here's my speculation as a fan. I said, he knows something. Or he's really, really confident. What did you know? Did you know something when you made that trade? Seriously.
No, you know, we really didn't. And we debated that for a long, long time. That was a tough decision. You know, I mean, we still stand by Allen and his skill set and so forth. And you're right. To give up assets to shed money, that's a risk. And, you know, I think for us it was a calculated one. It was one that sends a little bit of a message, to be quite honest, that, hey, look, we do have the room. We're ready to go. And for those that are watching, you know, here we are. And secondly, you know, if there were different alternatives for us, if, for instance, you know, free agency hadn't panned out the way it did, you know, there were other alternatives. And say, like, okay, well, now who do we go back in and try and get? You know, what other contracts do we absorb? How do we recoup some of those assets right that we may have given up? So there were other options for us to do.
Was it ever a possibility that you would have Kyrie Irving and D'Angelo Russell on the same team? Was that one of the plan Bs or Cs in your mind if things didn't work out with Kevin or other free agents?
Well, I think you have to look at everything. That's certainly an option. However, I'm not sure that would have been a great fit for either one of those guys. I think D'Angelo's proved that, you know, he can go in and lead a team. He's deserving of that. And, you know, obviously, you know, Kyrie's, you know, the precedence and the history from what he's, you know, stands for itself. So I'm not sure that it would have been a great fit to have two guys in there that really are deserving of trying to run their team.
I am very skeptical, all right? I'm very skeptical, Sean, that you found out Kevin Durant was signing with the Brooklyn Nets, your basketball team, through Instagram. I just am. You had to have known. And I'm not saying you tampered, because I don't think someone calling you and saying, hey, Kev's about to go to Brooklyn, I just want to give you a heads up, he's picking you. I don't think that's tampering. That's called picking up your freaking phone. I mean, that's all it is to me. So I don't know, man. Come clean with me. You knew before you went on Instagram that Durant was coming to Brooklyn, right? You had to have.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. What we knew was we were either in a phone call, a teleconference call with Kevin that night, or we were potentially going to get a meeting. And, you know, we'd seen some media reports earlier in the day that Kevin had crossed several teams off his list, and, you know, we were still one of them. And, you know, those reports were there for everybody to read. And then when Kevin posted it on the boardroom Instagram site, that was news to all of us in the office. So, you know, but again, it goes back to when, just because the guy says that initially, you know, we still have to follow through with our promise. And our promise is, like, let's get him to our building. Let's get him in here. He needs to meet with everybody. And that's, you know, I don't know if we have secret sauce or whatever, but that's what I'm selling. I'm selling the group that, you know, have invested, you know, three hard years. So, you know, they're going to do a better job of selling it than I was.
When he first got hurt, I'll be honest with you, I said, all right, pass. That was my first reaction. My reaction is pass. It's an Achilles injury. He's not going to be 32 till he comes back. I was scared. And every day that went by, I slowly started moving over to, you know what, just sign him anyway. Go for it. Go for it. Go for it. By the time you guys signed him, I was having a party. I mean, it was like a great moment as a fan. How was it for you? Well, you know, you're sitting there, you're a good basketball fan, and basketball, you know, you're a basketball guy. You're watching the NBA Finals. You see this guy get hurt. You know he's a top target. Was there that initial reaction of, oh, my God, we have to stay away, that's too risky? What was your range of emotions when Kevin first got hurt during the finals?
Yeah. You know what? The initial one was, I honestly, being a basketball guy, like you said, I felt devastated for the guy, for Kevin and for Golden State, you know, to be at that point and that juncture in their season and to go through that. And I remember, like, Kenny and I immediately had a conversation on the phone, and we were just, wow, that's brutal. Can you believe that just happened? And I don't know that either one of us ever said anything about us and him being a target initially. And then, you know, as the dust sort of settles and you get together with your group and your performance team and you sort of say, okay, well, what does this look like? If this does become a reality for us, you know, what are we facing here? What are we looking like? You know, and, you know, I'm going to bet on my performance team here every day. I mean, these guys have worked wonders. They know exactly what they're doing. They're confident in it. And as I've sort of said before, everybody has an opinion. So there was nobody who was left in the dark here. And, you know, if you needed to speak your piece, you got your opportunity to do that. And, you know, to a man and a woman, every single person raised their hands and said, look, I want that challenge. And,
yeah.
And to me, that's more motivating than anything else. That's terrific.
Do you think, and, you know, it's a hypothetical world, but if he doesn't get hurt, you think he ends up somewhere else? Do you think that in a weird way the injury helped because of his familiarity with the team doctor, Dr. O'Malley, and maybe the confidence because you guys have a great reputation and you deserve the credit for this because you've changed the organization. I was skeptical when you said you would. I was like, sure, this guy's a politician, but you've done everything, all right? I give you a lot of credit for that. That the injury in a weird way helped because of your sterling reputation this franchise has for rehabbing players, for injury prevention, for recovering from injuries. You think in a way that helped you guys get Kevin Durant?
You know what? I've never actually asked him that. I know he is, you know, since signing with us, he has met with all our performance team. And, you know, I could see the look on his face that he was certainly pleased with what we had in front of him. And, you know, he's going to attack this rehab like no other. I have complete confidence in that, listening to what he's had to say and his complete buy-in so far. I really don't know if that would have changed things. And, you know, I'm probably not going to ask him, to be brutally honest.
It's one of those things you may not want to know the truth. I'll tell you, if we get him on, I'll ask him. So you can avoid listening to that interview if you want.
there you go.
You know, does it concern you that you didn't speak to him before signing him? Is there, I know he's a, look, we all know he's a great player. He's one of the greatest players to ever play the game, and hopefully he comes back 100% healthy. But I would think you would want to, you know, have conversations with guys that you're making a huge investment in. Is there any part of you that was concerned that you didn't get a chance to talk to him before agreeing to sign him?
No, not really. I mean, look, you know these guys. You know, it's not like this guy's been in the league for a year or two. You know, he's well known on and off the court. You know, I've got, you know, plenty of friends, whether it's from UT days in San Antonio and so forth, that have had, you know, run-ins with him and have been either teammates and so forth. So I think we all know, you know, obviously what we're getting with Kevin, and that the talent is undeniable. You know, I obviously intrigued about ever being able to put that type of talent on the floor here in Brooklyn. So we're not worried about not having to have a conversation with him, but I did have the conversation before we officially signed him.
Right.
He did come in and we had a meeting. So this, after his, you know, well talked about sort of, you know, public announcement on Instagram, he did come in and then we sat with him, and, you know, that involved Kenny and ownership and a whole group.
What did he tell you on why he chose you guys? Like, what was his reasoning when he said, yeah, I'm so excited to be here, I'm here because of blank? Did he tell you?
Well, he said a couple of things. I mean, he did say, and I don't want to get into the whole thing, and I'll let you interview him and ask those questions too, but he did say, look, I love the system. I love how you guys play. You know, I see how hard your guys play. You were never out of games. You know, we could never take you guys lightly. I mean, that was one of the first things he said. He said, look, if we were up 10, you know, with 2 minutes to go, we knew that didn't mean anything against Brooklyn.
Mm.
So, you know, that's a real credit to the competitive environment that Kenny has really brought. I mean, he spearheaded that. And, you know, I give both he and the entire coaching staff, you know, just an amazing amount of credit for just instilling that belief in our guys. And they do. They play hard. They're competitive. And, you know, the hope is that nothing changes there. I mean, we owe the fans that, and that's what we'll continue to – that's the type of culture we'll have.
So last year, you guys, and I loved it. It was one of the more enjoyable years I had as a fan because the expectations to me were not to win 42 games and make the playoffs, but the Nets were the little engine that could. And Kenny Atkinson, even though I had my issues the first 2 months of the year, we probably all did overall fantastic job. And he rode his guys. He's tough on his guys. I mentioned you earlier. We know he sat D'Angelo Russell. That Rocket game, D'Angelo didn't play in overtime. He'd yell at Spencer Dinwiddie for missing a defensive assignment. He'd scream at Jared Allen. He's a tough guy. Can he be that same guy for Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant? These are elite players. These are superstar players. Do you think the coach has to change a little bit?
I think everything has to change slightly. You know, we haven't had that type of talent, you know, and that's across the board. I'll put all our free agents in there, not just the two of those guys that you mentioned, all of them in there. Things are going to change. Things are going to adapt. They have to. they have to start driving the culture. That's what it's all about. We have to learn from them. These guys have been in the league. They're elite level players, and we have to see what we can learn from them as well. But, you know, I can assure you Kenny is not going to be anything different than who Kenny is. That's who he is. And, you know, I've talked on numerous times, you just be yourself. That's who people expect that. And the great thing is when Kyrie and KD and DJ and Garrett all came in here, they knew what to expect. They knew what Kenny is, and they talked about it, and they said they loved the emotion that he showed. They could see that, you know, Kenny and, you know, all our staff, you know, they're in the fight with these guys. This is not a, you know, five guys on the court and everybody else sitting around watching. I mean, these guys are passionate about it, and it certainly starts with Kenny.
All right, let's get to the million-dollar question, all right? Are we going to see Kevin Durant play basketball this year for the Nets?
I wish I could give you that answer. I think from our standpoint, we've got to let the performance team and his rehabilitation really just sort of unfold the way it will. I think I'd be doing an unfair judgment call if I said, look, he is or he isn't. I have no idea. We're certainly not going to rush him back. There's going to be absolutely none of that. We've got far too much invested in him, and
sure,
and we owe it to Kevin to get him back to 100%. So yeah, I really don't know at this point.
Will where the team is impact that decision, or will it be squarely about where is he, how is he feeling, how much progress has he made?
This is going to entirely be a Kevin Durant decision.
So nothing
Kevin
to do with Durant, where you are. Okay.
Yeah, no. It does not matter at all. Now, I'm sure there's going to be times, just like with any competitive player, they're going to wish, gosh, I wish I could be out there. But I think what we're underestimating is what Kevin can bring to the sidelines and bring to the court. You know, I mean, is he acting like an assistant coach during practices and games and so forth for us now? I mean, I'm sure our guys are going to be picking his brain left, right, and center, because there isn't a play or a circumstance that he hasn't seen. So his value is definitely going to be seen on the court.
What should the expectations be this season? Because it is kind of weird. I mean, 42 wins was nice last year. I think we all want to see better. Kyrie Irving is here. DeAndre Jordan's here. Garrett Temple. A lot of moves were made. Do you look at this team and say, I want 50 wins. I want the second round of the playoffs. What is a reasonable expectation considering what this roster now looks like and the fact that we're likely not likely to see Kevin Durant for a while?
Yeah, you know, Evan, I'm going to give you a real boring answer, the same one I've given for sort of 3 years here. It's like I've never put a games, you know, amount of wins on the expectations. I think what we've done is we've continued to make strides, continue to make progress, head in the right direction, and compete. And I, again, you saw our players say from day one last year where they all said, we're making the playoffs. That wasn't led by any coach or any front office member. That was led by the playoffs. And who am I to sort of turn around and say, no, that's not going to happen. I think these guys will lead it, and we'll just see how the season goes. But, I think we'll head in the right direction. We'll compete. We'll continue to compete, play the right way, play unselfishly, and it'll certainly be a fun brand of basketball to watch.
After game four against Philly, as a fan, I was devastated. That was a winnable game. It was an emotional game. Everything that happened with Jimmy Butler and Jared Allen and Joel Embiid, it was tough to deal with. And the only thing that made me smile the rest of the night was hearing that you barged in to the referee's locker room. What happened? Tell me what happened that night.
You want me to get fined again?
What can you say without being fined? I need details on this, man.
Well, I'll the politically correct answer and the one I should give and the one that's appropriate would be that type of behavior is really unacceptable, and I should not be doing that. I know the rules and so forth. Understand that.
No.
But, you know, there's a part being an ex-player and being as competitive as I am. You know, there's times when you let the emotions get the best of you. So, you know, I certainly apologize to the guys and the team for that and shouldn't do it. But again, sometimes you just have to stick up for, your guys out there.
Did either Durant or Kyrie or DeAndre, when you met with them, say, hey, by the way, Sean, we loved when we heard that you barged in the referee's room? They must have mentioned that when you met with them, right? They love that.
No, they did not mention
Come
that.
On.
And I would hope. I definitely don't think that moves the needle for sure.
All right. I loved it. And I thought it would move the needle because I think that sometimes, correct me if I'm wrong, players like to hear that the guys around the organization are supporting them to that extent, and that you were supporting your guys. You were supporting Jared Allen. He was being pushed around by Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid got away with a lot. He probably should have been thrown out of that game. And I would think, I'm not a player, Sean. You obviously played in this league. I would think players love to hear that their general manager was knocking on the door, screaming at officials. They'd love to hear something like that.
Well, again, you'll probably have to ask those guys that question, but I don't know that you'll see me doing that on a regular basis or ever again.
I could go on for an hour with you. I know you're probably busy. Let me ask you a few real quick questions, and I'll let you go, and you better come on again in a couple of months or something.
No problem.
Is DeAndre Jordan going to start, or is Jared Allen the starting center on this team?
Great question. I think same thing that Kenny said publicly and what we've told our whole group from – from year one to now going into year four, this is a competitive environment. You go and you earn it. You earn the spot. And the fact that Jared told us, I want to play in summer league because I love to hoop and I know I can get better out there and I want to play, that speaks volumes for who that young man is. And he didn't have to play in summer league. He didn't play those amount of games, but he wanted to go out there. So I think he knows that there's a good competition ahead of him. And I think, look, for him to learn from a guy like DeAndre, and then DeAndre has shown, even his time in New York, that he's willing and able to nurture and, and really help the progression of some young guys. So I think value that DeAndre is going to bring to the table.
How did you get a first-round pick in the Kevin Durant, D'Angelo Russell sign-and-trade? That made me laugh when I heard that. I'm like, my God, the Clippers are giving up every pick they own. The Lakers are giving every pick they own. You guys overall, I know you gave up a few picks to move Crab's contract. You end up getting back a pick. I know it's very heavily protected from Golden State, but how did that go down, Sean?
I think that was one of the set of circumstances where, you got to give Golden State a ton of credit, for the last, I don't know how many years, it feels like a decade, they've been at the top of the league. And what happens is team salaries just go up and up and up. And then the real only way for them to, have some sort of value, get value back is when one of their marquee players, like in this case, Kevin, decides to leave, is to do a sign and trade. And so for us, there really wasn't a whole lot of benefit in doing it. Now all of a sudden, picks are involved and so forth. That's really what it came down to. So.
Well, you pulled it off. I'm still getting used to this. The fact that Kevin Durant, you understand, Sean, that the biggest free agent signing in Net history before you came around was probably Armin Gillingham or Alonzo Mourning at the end of his career. That is why this is so, in many ways, and obviously winning a championship and being a consistent winner is what we all want as fans. But why the moment of a few weeks ago is still something that's very difficult to understand for all of us because of the history of this franchise and that great players have never wanted to come here. Jason Kidd came here screaming and yelling. Darren Williams didn't want to come here. Not that he was a great player, but you know what I mean. So to pull this off is really, really remarkable.
Well, I appreciate that. But again, there's an entire army of people back at our facility that they deserve, all the credit in the world. Our cap guys have done just an amazing job of, orchestrating that and using the salary cap to our advantage. The analytics guys have found diamonds in the rough. So, we just keep going down the list. And, and obviously the front lines are our coaching staff. So, we all know we've got a long, long way to go, and this is not finished. And by no means are any of us going to sit here and...
I think we may have lost him, but I'll leave it with this, Sean, if you can hear me. The next step, the last step...
lies ahead of us now.
Oh, there he is. Okay. Next step is a parade down Flatbush, Sean, all right? That's the next plan, a parade down freaking Flatbush. That's what we're all waiting for, and you've at least put this team in position to dream about something like that. So congratulations. Thank you. Net fans love you right now, and you've done a great job, and thank you very much for popping on today.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
The great Sean Marks, the general manager of the Brooklyn Nets, who somehow pulled off the coup of signing Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. We'll see what this year holds. The injury thing is, I hate to say it, it's really going to be a wait-and-see thing, as he described it, and how his rehab goes. I know as a fan, I'm going to try to forget about him once this season starts. I'm not going to think about Kevin Durant coming back, but the door has not been closed, that's for sure.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.